All right, we're back now with Linfield High School hockey coach John Gardner. And, Coach, welcome back. And before we do anything, I got to tell you, my father always said, you got to take the bitter with the sweet. So I'm going to start with the bitter first and say, first of all, how are you?
I'm coming to terms. You know, those losses always stay with you, and we're particularly, you know, tough on ourselves with that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember losses from 10 years ago, 30 years ago. So that's going to be a tough one. You just got to kind of spin it in a different light and get on and learn from it and make you stronger.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, as you know, we had our coaches' roundtable the other night, and you were sorely missed. But Coach Hansen was saying, like, 2 weeks after the fact that St. John's Prep, he's still in mourning over that loss. And you look at all the successes that you've had, and I know as a player, you know, we had some tough losses. But I, as time goes on, it's the good stuff I remember. And I remember being in the playoffs, and I remember playing for a championship, and that's the cool stuff. In your case, you not only lost a really tough one, a close one, but it's also against a division rival. And Triton is a very difficult school, as they proved. They went a long way.
Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, we prepare our kids, we feel, more than anyone, and, you know, have contingency plans and make sure that we're not overlooking our opponents. And in no way, shape, or form did we. But I just, as it was happening, and then it was a perfect storm of, like, they played their best game of the year. We played more towards our floor, and it was one of those things where I could see that our guys were not, they were playing not to lose. They were playing like, oh, man, we can't blow this.
Mm-hmm.
We're better than this team. We beat them in a series. I think Ryan would admit that as well. And that's what's great about the tournament. You got to show up when the lights are at you know, their brightest. And, again, if they had gone up a little bit sooner, we would have maybe broken glass in case of emergency kind of thing. But we're only down 1-0 on a kind of a weak goal. And our third period splits are off the charts as far as goals for, goals against. So we didn't really need to panic. And then when they banged two quick ones in, we called a timeout. I give our guys credit. They didn't go quietly, which is, you know, a big thing for us. Never give up, never go quietly. So they made it 3-1, 3-2, only to feel like everything in the building was like, oh, we're going to win this, possibly, I mean, force overtime, but possibly win in regulation, because that's how much we were dominating. Hit the crossbar, and then we gave up just kind of a backbreaker. And, you know, happy for Ryan and his crew. They play hard. They play together. And but it was a tough pill to swallow. I'm sure Chris will say the same thing. I went to the Garden and watched I watched all the games, but watching the D3 game, you're like, wow, we can beat both these teams.
yeah.
Tough one to swallow.
Yeah, it is. I know, in the moment. And then, but I said, for the kids, that's going to go away, Coach, and they're going to look back at this year as a very, very special year. And that's what I want to get to now. You had what's the word I'm looking for? Your banquet, thank you. And you had your awards and so on, and you got to reflect on the good stuff. Tell me a little bit about the good stuff, the awards, the players who you're most proud of. I know you're proud of all the kids, but you know, the good stuff.
Yeah, so me and Jay are known for just completely going above and beyond, gush about our players, and it's kind of like a pecking order. You're a freshman, sophomore, junior. You're going to get spoken about from our assistant coaches, occasionally me and Jay, and then our seniors, we really kind of roll out the red carpet for all they've accomplished. Our banquet, it starts at 6. We don't leave the cafeteria until well after 9. So we go on and on about our guys. And I think the parents respect that we can speak intelligently and thoroughly about every player, including my JV guys. So, our big takeaway, other than like all the historical stuff that they did during the regular season, most wins in the regular season at Linfield, most wins, you know, in total, ever, 20 wins. But we kind of like position it where we throw that out into a degree. We talked about being measured in March was our slogan, and even though we came up short, you know, in hindsight, we're like, listen, you measured each and every day, and our guys came up, you know, they measured up, you know, more times than not throughout the year. We just had one bad night. And then the takeaways for us was we were you know, it was an honor, but we got the James F. Malloy Sportsmanship Award.
So right,
we were
right.
At the Garden
yep.
Sunday, went on the ice for that, and we had you know, we conduct ourselves, we pride ourselves in being a clean team. They're no angels, but they don't take a lot of penalties. We don't take any majors, DQs. We try and keep our mouths closed. And then we had that moment with our rival, North Reading, we discussed earlier in the year about one of their players scoring a goal. We kind of orchestrated it.
Mm-hmm.
Special needs.
Yep, yep,
and,
I gotcha, yep.
That was a big yep. part of us getting that. So those are memories that kid will have for his lifetime.
You know.
We were a part of that. And obviously the bonds the guys, you know, forged with their brothers, their winter brothers, and then the memories they'll have, you know, that don't fade, and that's like our number one priority.
You know, Coach, what's weird, what you just mentioned, you're helping the North Reading young man.
Yep.
That's something your kids may or may not remember as a wonderful thing to do, but let me tell you, that kid, his family, and all of his friends are going to remember that for the rest of their lives. And so that's a terrific, terrific thing that your kids and you've done as a staff. I want to ask you about the record and the success that you've had, because a state championship, John, and I'm speaking anecdotally, but it seems to me that a state championship for a public school, especially not a giant public school, is a generational thing. It happens once in every generation or so, maybe even less than that, to get a state championship. It takes something really special, a great group of talented kids, a lot of luck, and so on. But like the players, the coaches I talked with the other night in your program, you have success year in and year out. What have you done or what are you doing to nurture that? How do you get the younger kids, the younger brothers and so on, to buy into this and to do the right thing and then to compete at such a high level?
Yeah, we try and we definitely try and make one of our biggest slogans we're always talking about is anyone that's a part of the program, whether it's the parents, the, depth chart. It could be player, most talented player number one, or the 40th guy on JV that just started playing organized hockey this year. We try and make them feel a part of something bigger than themselves. And, there's no one that isn't that we're not invested in and not pulling for. So I think people recognize you treat people the right way. It's special. People feel included, and they want to be a part of that. So the more guys we kind of like pass through 4 years through the program, you know, word travels. The success definitely helps, but again, you know, it's just big picture kind of real life stuff. People that, like I said, go to our banquet, they see how heartfelt we are and how much we care about each and every kid, and setting them up for life after high school and life after hockey. That's just the most important stuff. If you're genuine and authentic with how you go about your business, people see it, and I think they want to gravitate towards it.
Yeah, it's funny, as we were saying, all the coaches I talked with the other night who are, I don't want to use the word legendary, but they're certainly close to it, if not there already. They all mentioned that passion for the game, but also working with kids, and they all said it in different ways. But among you guys, I love this phrase. You look at it the same way differently, all of you. And I want to ask you, John, about your passion for the game, because you start at a young age. You go on the ice when you're a kid of all kinds of crazy hours. It's freezing cold. Sometimes you have to get up early or stay late, and you do this year after year now as an adult. What keeps you going, John?
Hockey picks you. You know, I don't think you pick hockey. You can, you know, you're either a hockey player or you play hockey, and we like to try and cultivate guys that are hockey players. I can't shut it off. My brother can't shut it off. We always talk about being kind of obsessed and fanatical about it. I joke with my wife at the banquet how, all our wives become, winter widows again. And even when the season's over, it's never over. I'm on to next year planning. I was so grateful for my high school hockey coach, Drew Taylor, and the experiences we had. So just it's kind of the North Star for us as far as giving back and giving our players the same experience we had. And we know that'll, again, carry them. We talk at the banquet about hockey player and human being development. So you're always taking the ice lessons and trying to translate it to life lessons. And again, it's something that I don't have control of, so I just kind of go with it. Let loose with the hockey, and hopefully there's not too much in my wake.
Okay, I get that. And I love the way it just keeps on keeping on. I mean, at my age, I still love the sports. And I'm amazed. I went to high school in Texas, and when I came to Massachusetts to learn about this game of hockey, it still fascinates me. I think it's got to be the most incredibly difficult sport. And I guess you're right. You're either a hockey player or you play hockey, because to get on those little blades and then be able to do this creativity stuff on a sheet of ice in the middle of winter with your hands frozen, that's just crazy. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's no sport like it. Everyone will wax poetic about their sport. I could go on and on, but it's like just the simple fact of you're on flat ground, but you're not on a normal surface, grass, the court. You're on ice. There's no out of bounds. You know, not too many sports you have a bunch of plywood and plexiglass wrapped around, and then a piece of equipment that iron net right there that could get you, and you're skating around with a 4 or 5 foot stick, and it's just like the head to toe equipment, as opposed to, like, not to take away from the violence and the physicality of football, but you know the puck could literally break your bones, and you got, I mentioned, a weapon in your hands, and you need to be, again, covered from head to toe. You go out there for 40 seconds, 60 seconds, and you got to get off. Big time team game. I can go on and on, but like you said, the sacrifices and the dedication it takes to be a hockey player, it's grueling, and it's the life lesson of, like, you're going to fall down a lot in hockey. It's going to hurt, and it's all about getting back up. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any other sport, like, exemplifies that more than hockey. So I'd love to get into a debate with anyone that wants to talk to me about their sport compared to ours.
Well,
there's our fierce competitiveness coming out.
There you go. When I learned how to ski, Coach, I learned that if you don't fall, you ain't skiing. I mean, when you ski, you fall. It's going to happen. It's the same way on the ice. And I want to bring, I guess, one more question I want to bring up that I asked the other guys. And it has to do with communication. And communication, you alluded to it. Certainly, that's part of what you do. No, it's a huge part of what you do, is to communicate to your players in so many ways. You have to do it both demonstrably and by word of mouth. But communication among players, parents, fellow staff. I mean, I'm sure sometimes teachers grab you. They want your attention about a certain kid. And administrators, and dare I say it, media. What's your philosophy with all of that, Coach?
Yeah, you got to take each and every transaction with someone, like, differently. You kind of get to know people, what works, what doesn't work. You just mentioned the amount of the amount of tricks and variety of stuff that we do to drive home certain points. If I told you about some of the props and videos and stuff that we kind of, you know, put in front of our players to drive it home, to make it, you know, be a part of their DNA, sometimes the verbal isn't enough. Some guys can take the constructive criticism and tough love. Some guys need to, you know, some guys do need to be handled with some finesse and some kid gloves. You just kind of get to know people and how they best respond. But the bottom line is, you know, you want them to get better, and you need to find the best way to drive home your points, and it's absorbed fully. So yeah, it's a craft, and it's an ongoing, evolving craft that you just try and keep getting better at every year.
It's an art. It ain't a science. I got one more thing I got to mention, and I know I'm pushing you to the limit here. I mentioned to the coaches the other day how success is relative, and I'm not talking about wins and losses. I'm talking about being what's the word, efficient, being getting by, doing well. And I saw an interview regarding Bobby Orr with Terry Crisp, and he said that his coach, I don't know if it was Scotty Bowman, who it was, he said he had two of his players, including Terry Crisp, one game in the playoffs, you're going to shadow Orr. That's all you're going to do, is shadow Bobby Orr. And Terry Crisp said, you know, we did a good job. We held him to one goal and five assists. So success is relative, man, and it's all a life lesson, isn't it?
absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, you can't get too black and white. You know, obviously, I've been spewing that slogan all year, measured in March with my guys, and then you kind of got to, you know, take a step back. You kind of can't see the forest through the trees and get a little bit of tunnel vision when you're in the middle, especially this year for us being, you know, the last team in the state to lose. So you kind of get a little bit of tunnel vision, but, you know, you can kind of circle back and readjust the narrative a little bit to, again, it's the truth. It's the truth. It's not like trying to finagle it into a narrative that you want, but it's you know, you gotta set your bar pretty high and have we've gotten to the point where the past few years we have a standard of excellence, but you always gotta shine light on the little things and you know, along the way. You can't just, you know, be singularly focused on, hey, winning a state championship, because that is ultimately our goal.
All right, that's Linfield High School hockey coach John Gardner with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.